911, what's your emergency?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Bros. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory!
That is correct. And we are looking at some history today. I love this type of stuff, so...
History.
Yay for me.
Fun.
We did that show a couple of weeks ago about that diamond that went missing. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember perfectly.
Yes, and in that show, we mentioned the... Nuremberg trials.
Yeah.
Yes. So I thought, well, we should do a show on the Nuremberg trials because it is one of the biggest trials that happened in history because of war crimes that were committed during World War II, specifically by Nazis.
Is it bigger than OJ?
Well, it was more than one person.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they decided to have this trial is, like, you know, the war is over. And all these atrocities have happened. Like, people need to be punished. They can't just be set free.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So, it was the trial of the century. Not because of celebrity, but because of the crimes.
Yeah.
Crimes that shattered the moral fabric of the world. Crimes that redefined evil. And for the first time in history, an international court would try individuals. Not just nations. For war crimes. This is the story of the Nuremberg trials, okay? And like I said, they didn't want to be like, oh, Germany, that's it, Germany's in trouble, because they knew there were specific people who had done very specific evil things and they wanted to be prosecuted. Okay. And the Nuremberg trials was where Nazi leaders faced justice after World War II. It was a moment where the world had to ask, how do you punish the architects of genocide?
Yeah.
And can justice ever be enough? So, as we discuss this, it's really... I mean, what they did was shocking.
Yeah.
I've been to Auschwitz. It's disgusting what they did to people there. I mean, you go into the gas chamber and all you see is scratch marks on the walls because people were trying to get out.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's messed up. They had this room of, like... just canisters of the gas that they used to use. And it's piles and piles and piles and piles and piles and piles of these empty canisters.
I mean, how hard would people have to be scratching for you to see the scratch marks?
Do you get me? And in the one room, it is very, like, sombering. They have, because they used to shave everybody's head when they arrived because of lice.
Okay.
Yeah, so they would shave everyone. But they kept all the hair. So in this room is 10 tons
of
human hair.
Just chilling.
Yes. Well, they've kept it now as a memorial. You can't take pictures or anything. And it's kept under specific light so it doesn't, like, degrade. But think about this. How light is hair?
Yeah. Like, super light.
Think about my hair. It doesn't weigh much.
Yeah, so one head of hair doesn't weigh a lot.
How much hair creates the equivalent of basically 10 elephants?
Bro, that's crazy.
It's messed up, right?
All I can think of is, like, just secretly showing up there and lighting up their hair.
Glory! Oh, guys.
In commemoration for all the lives lost.
In there. It's like behind glass. Can't access it.
Vengeance for the lives lost.
They have literally all the glasses of people because they kept... The Nazis, for some reason, were hoarders.
That is very... To me, that's dark.
Yes.
I mean, I think there are better ways to commemorate people than keeping all their shaved
hair. I think they wanted to show the scale. And like the Nazis would take... Like, after people died, they would... Anyone who had gold teeth, they'd take the teeth out.
Yeah.
And there was, like, a pile of gold teeth.
Wow.
And it was so messed up, right? It's what was done at those death camps is something else.
Yeah.
So the year was 1945 and World War II had ended, leaving Europe in literal ruins. Nazi Germany had fallen, but what did that mean for the men who planned the Holocaust? Obviously, Mr. Hitler took the easy way out and killed himself. Okay. what was to happen? These people who had built a regime on hatred and murder and fear, what were we supposed to do?
Yeah.
And so the Allies, who were America, Britain, the Soviet Union, which is now modern day Russia, and France, decided these men wouldn't just disappear into the shadows. They must be held accountable. And I commemorate them for that, because they could have just let them live their lives and nothing else. The city of Nuremberg, which is in Germany, was chosen for the trials. Ironically, it was once the symbolic heart of the Nazi Party. Now it would be the place where their legacy was dismantled in front of the world. But the question was, how do you prosecute crimes no court has ever prosecuted before?
Wow.
I mean, no one's heard of this stuff. I mean, there was one guy who tortured twins because Hitler had some belief that twins were like magical.
Oh, wow.
They did experiments on people. I mean, they mass shootings. I mean, not even that. Like, to just the way they destroyed the Jews during the time. I mean, it's really disgusting. So 24 major Nazi leaders were indicted. And they weren't just soldiers. These were the masterminds. So I'm going to name four of the big ones. So there was Hermann Göring, who was Hitler's second in command and head of the Luftwaffe. Now, that was basically the Air Force of Germany. That's what they were called. Okay? He was charismatic, ruthless, and unapologetic. And you see, these guys firmly believed what they were doing is right. And I think that's more scary.
Yep.
There's no remorse. There's just this hatred that they lost. Oh, there was Rudolf Hess. This was Hitler's former deputy who had flown solo to Scotland in a bizarre peace mission and has been in prison since. There was Joachim von Ribbentrop, and he was a Nazi foreign minister who helped sign the infamous Nazi-Soviet pact. And then there was Albert Speer, who was Hitler's architect and minister who would become known as the Nazi who said sorry. Oh, did he apologize? Well, it didn't do much help, did it? No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Others included generals, propagandists, industrialists, and one by one they would sit in the dock, some defiant, some delusional, and some eerily calm. So the prosecutors faced this challenge. These crimes were massive. I mean, how the hell, what prison sentence do you give for someone who killed like 6 million Jews? Like, what do you do? Well, what's that prison sentence?
Yeah.
There's never been a prison sentence like this before. Okay? And many weren't even recognized by law because these things are so atrocious. It's not like you write them into your constitution.
Yeah.
Okay? So they created a new legal framework with four charges, okay? Crimes against peace, which was starting an aggressive war. There was war crimes, which was violating the rules of warfare and playing basically very dirty. Crimes against humanity. This included genocide, enslavement, and extermination of civilians. And then conspiracy to commit these crimes. So basically planning, orchestrating. Because, I mean, the fact that they built death camps, there was planning for years in advance.
Yeah.
Like years in advance. Okay. And for the time, crimes against humanity was named and defined. And the Holocaust wasn't just an atrocity, it was now a legal crime. Which, again, I'm very glad that they did this. These guys could have just lived till they were 80 in Germany with a nice life. I'm glad that they had to suffer consequences. And I think this was a very big turning point because for now, if any war breaks out now, or like when 9/11 happened and Taliban attacks, now there is something where people can be tried for this type of crime. Like even now with Israel and Palestine and Russia and Ukraine, like when those wars come to an end, people will be held accountable. And I do think, I mean, yeah, you've got the mass soldiers, but you can't really, I don't know how you punish mass soldier troops. I mean, that's a bit difficult. And you know, fun fact. So every morning at breakfast, the Nazi soldiers were given pills. They were told they were their vitamins. They were drugs so that they would follow orders without question.
That's crazy.
So most of those soldiers, that because they had to be so like dead in their emotions that when they were told shoot, they'd shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's messed up. So I think for what they tried to do with this Nuremberg trial is they're like, okay, yeah, we can't really punish the whole... I mean, that's impossible to punish most of the troops. Most of them didn't even know what was going on. A lot of people only found out about the death camps after the war ended. So who do we punish?
That just makes me wonder if that kind of a thing is a norm in like higher up governmental institutes.
Well, I was speaking to my gran, and I said, I don't think we know half the stuff that happens in places like Russia, North Korea, and China.
Yeah, not at
all. I feel like if you had to go into Russia and expose everything, I think we would be traumatized. Same with China and same with North Korea. I think there's so much hidden there.
Just a random
side. It's a bit scary.
Yeah, a random side note. This has nothing to do with the show, but wow. In terms of giving people pills or medication, I heard from someone that there's apparently, I don't know if this happens in all kids' homes, but apparently there's a home for kids where they give them pills.
Like orphans?
Yeah, orphans, where they give them like medication to, how can I say, to not make their hormones as active as in sexually.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, so that they're not very active in that
sphere. How does that make sense, though?
Kind of makes sense.
But I mean, to drug an entire army so that they'll shoot when you say shoots.
That's elite mentality.
Glory.
I'm kidding.
No. Anyway. The trials began on November 20th, 1945, and judges and lawyers from four nations, a courtroom filled with interpreters, guards, journalists, and history. The evidence was overwhelming and chilling. There was film footage from liberated concentration camps. That was also a thing. They filmed so much of this stuff, and I'm like, yeah. But why? There were documents signed in the defendant's own hands, and there was eyewitness testimony from survivors. Goering tried to dominate the courtroom. He sparred with prosecutors, mocked witnesses, and acted as if the trial was a game. But slowly, even he began to realize this was no show. This was the end. One key moment was when prosecutors played footage of the liberation of Auschwitz and silent images of emancipated bodies, gas chambers, piles of shoes filled the courtroom. And the people just fell silent and they were stunned into, well, shock. And several defendants wept. Others had to look away. And perhaps most chilling, the defense strategies. It was, they would say things like, I was just following orders. I didn't know it was war. My guy. How do you not know you're pressing the button to put the gas in the gas chamber? Don't be dumb.
Yeah.
Like, you have to give the order, carry the bodies out and put them in the furnace. Because they burned all the bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's disgusting.
I want to imagine what that smells like.
And there was a clearly answered question here. Obedience is not a defense for genocide. You can't just claim, I was obeying orders. You know right from wrong. Okay? Like, no. Yeah. After nearly a year of proceedings on October 1st, 1946, the verdicts were announced. 12 were sentenced to death by hanging. 3 received life in prison. 4 got lesser sentences and 3 were acquitted. Why were they acquitted? Put them in jail. Hermann Göring, the face of Nazi power at the trial, was sentenced to die. But the night before his execution, he cheated the hangman by swallowing a hidden cyanide pill in his cell.
How did that get there?
How did that get there is my question. Others like Hans Frank, the butcher of Poland, went to the gallows. Albert Speer was spared the death penalty. He expressed remorse and admitted responsibility, though many believe he downplayed his role.
Yeah.
The Nuremberg trials didn't end with these verdicts. They sparked a movement that continues today. They led to the creation of the international criminal law, like I said. They inspired the Genocide Convention, and they laid the foundation for later tribunals for places like Rwanda, because there was a massive genocide in Rwanda. And it established this principle: leaders can be held accountable for their crimes, even heads of state. But the Nuremberg was not perfect. Critics said it was victor's justice, that the Allies had also committed war crimes but weren't on trial. Now, I disagree with this. The Allies didn't take Germans and put them in concentration camps.
Yeah.
They didn't do mass genocide. They fought a war. I mean, Hitler attacked them. Anyway, and people will say that legal standards were invented after the fact. Still, the trials marked a turning point. Justice was no longer just a national affair. It was international, and the world had said clearly, never again,
never.
Which we all agree.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Nuremberg trials were more than trials. They were a reckoning, a confrontation with the darkest parts of humanity. And perhaps most importantly, they reminded us that evil does not only reside in monsters. It can wear a suit, sign a form, and give an order, which I 100% agree with. And I think it's very scary that there is a couple of people that I look at today and I'm like, yeah, I mean, Kim Jong-un. From North Korea.
No, that guy is scary.
Even Putin.
It's quite interesting because the scariest people, like you picture.
How did they? It makes
you look at Kim Jong-un and he looks like a teddy bear.
Well, Putin doesn't look very friendly.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
But of course, you know, Russian people have always been perceived to be scary.
No, but I mean, the amount of people he's had assassinated. I mean, he's been in power for who knows how long. Kim Jong-un killed all his competitors. I mean, North Korea is an absolute. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think personally, I do think it was a good thing that it was had. I think it would have been very unfair and very unjust if those men had just gone free.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually disrespecting to the victim, all those 6 million Jews that were killed. And like I said, you can't. It's very difficult to literally try every soldier that shot a gun. I mean, that's impossible. But you can be like, you guys, you did this. You created this mentality and society.
Yeah.
And what was done was awful. And like they said, never again.
Yeah.
Never again. But is there anything else you'd like to add before we end the show?
No. Nothing in particular.
Sure?
Yeah.
No other funny facts about pills? No.
Wow.
Anyway, that's been the Nuremberg Trials. I really hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.